The Soviet Union fought a bloody, disastrous war in Afghanistan in the 1980s. But of course, today, when we think about Afghanistan, we think about how it's America's longest war. The U.S. has been in Afghanistan since 2001. However, Russia is also there.
It's of concern, shouldn't it be, to all of us that you now have Russia, Iran, and Al-Qaeda now playing significant roles. Some one more than the other, but that wasn't the case a couple of years ago, was it?
That's Republican Senator John McCain during a recent hearing held by the Senate Armed Services Committee. He posed that question to General John Nicholson, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan. Here's part of General Nicholson's response.
The Russian involvement this year has become more difficult. First, they have begun to publicly legitimize the Taliban. This narrative that they promote is that the Taliban are fighting Islamic State and the Afghan government is not fighting Islamic State, and that therefore there could be a spillover of this group into the region. This is a false narrative.
Nicholson didn't offer many details, but there are clear questions on how Russia's presence in Afghanistan complicates U.S. efforts there. Andrew Weiss is vice president for studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, where he oversees research on Russia and Eurasia. He joins us from Washington. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, tell us, what do we know about why the Russians have a presence in Afghanistan now?
Well, I don't think we're talking so much about presence so much as we're talking about harassment and efforts by the Russians to undermine the United States and NATO-led military effort there. What we've seen in recent days, including this week, are the Russians trying to build a diplomatic profile on Afghanistan that basically circumvents what the U.S.-led effort is about and circumvents the government of Afghanistan itself.
Well, tell me more about that, though, because as General Nicholson pointed out in that tape, it seems as if the Russians are saying they're doing this, they're being involved in Afghanistan in a fight against ISIS.
So what they're doing is they're basically building bridges to the Taliban, the radical group which ruled Afghanistan before the U.S. military intervention in 2001. And they're trying to basically legitimize the Taliban. They seem to be doing that on the back of a false narrative, which is what General Nicholson was just talking about, which claims that the Taliban are the only serious group operating against Islamic State in Afghanistan. There are other indications of Russian intelligence sharing with the Taliban, which began at least starting in 2015. There's indications of Russian cross-border military activity and possibly some weapons being transferred from the Russian government to the Taliban. When Senator Nicholson was testifying the other day, he said he wouldn't talk about any of those issues in open session. So we're operating on the basis of press reports. The other thing which we're aware of is a Russian diplomatic offensive. This week, there's a big conference in Moscow. They've invited various regional stakeholders. They've excluded the United States and NATO from participating in that diplomatic exchange in Moscow.
Interesting. Well, the reason why we wanted to talk with you today is because earlier this week we spoke with Michael Kugelman from the Wilson Center, and he talked about how Russia may have some legitimate concerns about the security situation in Afghanistan. One of those concerns has to do with the drug trade. So let's listen to what he said.
Well, I mean, I think that there oftentimes in the United States is a tendency to have a very reflexive response to anything involving Russia, and that whatever Russia is doing must be bad. I would contend that in Afghanistan, Russia has a very reasonable, it has a justification to want to be active and present in the country again. One is simply Russia has very genuine concerns about the implications of a prolonged security crisis in Afghanistan. For example, the drug trade in Afghanistan is really flourishing, and it always does when the insurgency is strong, because the Taliban has a big part to do with it. Russia has a pretty bad heroin epidemic, and it has reason to worry that could worsen if you have more of these drugs coming into Russia, given the troubling situation in Afghanistan.
So, Andrew Weiss, respond to that.
No, there's no doubt that the drug trade, the flow of narcotics from that are grown in Afghanistan across this very porous border into Central Asia and then onward into drug markets in Russia, that's clearly a problem. But I think at the root of it is the United States and Russia are now acting like competing great powers and at times adversarial great powers. So when you see Russian planes buzzing U.S. military vessels in the Black Sea in recent days, you see the interference in our election, you see the attempts to undermine the U.S. image around the world as a bastion of democracy. This I would put in the same basket. It's you know, ankle biting. It's trying to undermine the U.S. military effort. For many years, the Russians were quite upset about the U.S. military presence on the territory of Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, post-Soviet successor countries. They worked very hard to basically get us kicked out of those countries. And now that the United States is backing away from its long-term military commitment to Afghanistan, I think they're saying there's an opening here for Russian influence.
Okay, so this is very fascinating and perhaps even troubling, because to hear you say that the U.S. And Russia especially are posturing here around Afghanistan, are we verging towards a replay of history here? Because the Soviet Union, you know, fought a bloody and disastrous war in Afghanistan in the 1980s, which in part gave rise to the Taliban.
I think the Russian government is unlikely to, as they say in Russian, step into that river twice. But what we are seeing, I think, is a revival of Cold War-style thinking. There was a great interview the other day in TASS, the Russian state news agency, with their main envoy for Afghanistan. And in this interview, Ambassador Kabulov really portrays the entire question of the U.S. presence in Afghanistan in Cold War terms. He talks about how the U.S. used to have these big bases in Iran. We got kicked out of Iran after the revolution. We then seized on Afghanistan as a pivot point to project influence toward the Middle East, toward China, Pakistan, and Russia. And he sort of talks about, you know, we lived through the Cold War. We know what this is all about. And there's this kind of, really larding it quite darkly in terms of big geopolitical great game competition. I think that kind of talk is a reflection of what Russian policy is all about, which is if they can do things to squeeze out the United States or to make the U.S. lose, that's got to be good for Russia. I think that's a misguided way to think about a problem as complex as Afghanistan, but it clearly holds a lot of sway at senior levels in the Russian government.
So let's talk about for a moment then how this complicates the U.S. mission in Afghanistan, because of course, in that testimony that General Nicholson gave, he was there to ask for more troops. I mean, the United States is at yet another one of those pivot points regarding how to move forward in achieving some kind of security in Afghanistan. Does this Russian involvement there make it that much more difficult?
You'd have to talk to somebody who's following Afghanistan more closely than I do to understand exactly how much the political challenge facing the U.S. and the Congress right now, particularly the Trump administration, in lobbying for greater military role inside Afghanistan is affected by the Russian initiative. My sense is that's probably a second-order factor, but I'm not an expert on that issue. I think what I would focus more on is that the United States is doing things militarily, diplomatically, and politically inside Afghanistan, and having this Russian role is just simply unhelpful. So it's more, I think, a question of it being eroding some of the political processes that we're trying to promote. For example, there was a peace initiative that basically involved the government in Kabul making amends and trying to get a group led by one of the warlords, Hekmatyar, taken off a UN sanctions list. Basically, for mischief-making purposes, the Russians intervened and basically said, no, we're not so sure that makes sense right now. And it undermined an attempt to promote reconciliation within Afghanistan. So I'd put most of what we're seeing in the category of harassment and attempts to disrupt what the United States and the government in Kabul are doing, rather than an attempt to actually insert Russia directly back into this conflict.
I see. Do you believe that Russia is seeing some success with these attempts at harassment, though?
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I mean, as Nicholson said in his testimony last week, the war is at a stalemate. So I think when you're in a situation like that, any effort by the Russians to basically undermine what the United States is doing is a net negative, both for us and I think most tragically for the people of Afghanistan.
Well, Andrew Weiss is Vice President for Studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and he oversees research on Russia and Eurasia. Many thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.